My name is Sian. It's lovely to see so many visitors here today. It's really, really great that you've joined us. So I hope that you really enjoy today and God really speaks to you, because I really feel that God wants to communicate afresh and again his love to us and for us. And so today we're going to look at the love of God, and I just want to share a little story going way back when I was a little girl in my grandparents' garden. My grandmother took me by the hand and led me over to the one of the hedgerows and said, "Sian, look in there." And inside this little hedge was a bird's nest, and in the nest were four little duck egg blue speckled eggs. And as a little four-year-old, this was quite a magical experience. And every year, every spring, till I was probably in my 30s, I would go to that part of the hedge to see if a new nest had been constructed or whether a new bird had come and laid more eggs. And it was a wonderful experience. Then fast forward 40-odd years, when Adam, my husband, was cutting the hedges in our own garden, he came in the house and said, "Oh, come and see what's in the garden in the hedge." As he was cutting the hedges, and this nest was on eye level with Adam, and so it wasn't very high up in the hedge. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. I couldn't resist. You know, you. And so anyway, out the garden I went to see this gorgeous little nest, and it was exactly the same as the nest I had seen as a little girl, with four little duck egg blue speckled eggs. They looked just like Cadbury's mini eggs, beautiful. And so over the next few days, I'd go out to see if these eggs had hatched. And gradually, one, two, three started hatching. And they were these like pink little fluffy things with like two little feathers. And then a few days later, they were really fluffy and their eyes were starting to open. And so I'd watch for when the mother would fly away to get some food. And then I'd go out and I'd start digging up some worms and I'd start feeding the chicks these little worms. Hi, Adam, okay? And just talking about the lovely nest that we found in the garden. Adam's taking up horticultural activities in his middle years. So am I. Okay, so anyway, there was this nest, and these little birds were growing and becoming fluffy, and their eyes were opening, and the mother would fly off to get some food. And so I'd go out just to check, and I'd be very careful with my camera not to disturb the nest, dig up a couple of worms. And then a few days later, they were so strong, they'd sense you coming towards the hedge, and they'd be up on their feet, and their little beaks would be going like this because they knew that food was coming. And Adam would say to me, "Sian, don't interfere with that nest. You know, birds have cared for their young for thousands of years. Mother Nature is a wonderful thing. You do not need to interfere." I was like, "Oh, well, what if the mother can't find any food? What if she can't find any worms? I don't want these chicks to die of starvation." And I used to cover the hedge up with some greenage and foliage because they were quite exposed, and neighbours would tell us, "The magpies and the seagulls will come and eat them." I was like, no, I was very protective over these eggs. My sort of natural and sort of parental chick-like qualities were coming out. And I really wanted to look after these poor little birds that had found their home in our garden. And then just a few days ago, this is the last picture I took, and they were all fully fledged little blackbirds, and flew off nice and safe. They'd flown the nest. Okay, and so basically, I just told that story because it reminded me of a verse in the Bible, and this is what Jesus says. Oh, and by the way, we were having coffee a few weeks ago, and I was discussing about what I was going to speak on, so I really felt that God wanted to communicate once again about his love and how he kind of wants to gather us to himself. And we were just chatting about that and chatting about the birds, and I flicked my phone, and then that clip came up. And that's why I wanted to show the clip, because it really connects into this verse. So we find this verse in Matthew 23, verse 37. And this is Jesus speaking. "How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." And so we're going to look at this verse in context. So here we do see this love that Jesus has in wanting to gather lost people to himself. And we knew that Jerusalem was the capital city of God's chosen people. And it was like the ancestral home of King David. And it was also the location of the temple, which at the time was like the earthly dwelling place of the presence of God. And it was intended to be the center of worship for the one true God. And as we know, sort of Jerusalem rejected Jesus, and it says earlier on in the verse about like they killed the prophets and things like that, and they were, you know, expecting the Messiah to come, and yet Jesus was there and they rejected him, as we know. And Jesus says how he wanted to gather his people as a hen protects her chicks under her wings, and bet they wouldn't let him. And Jesus also wants to gather us to himself. And many times in life we can hurt and we don't know where to turn. We think that he can give us, we don't think that Jesus can give us what we need, but he knows our needs better than the ones anybody who loves us the most. And who better to know our needs than the very person who created us? We will find our help and our comfort in him. And in this verse, we kind of see one of the true characteristics of the nature of God, and that is one of nurture. Many people have quite a distorted view of God, do they not? They have this sort of view of God that he is like this harsh, judgmental figure who is like out to kind of like get people. And whilst there will be sort of a judgment in the end, yes, there will be, right now God wants to reach out with love and nurture to the whole of humankind with his love to gather us to himself. And so we're going to look at a little bit about love this morning. And as you know, the English language has one word for love. Love. I love you. I love chocolate. I love going for walks. I love my dog. And love is a word that we describe different things about love. But in the Bible, the Old Testament was translated from Hebrew, and the New Testament was translated from Greek. And in the Greek, there are several words that describe the word love and its different sort of variations and meanings. And today, we're just going to look at four of them, and they are four types of love found in the Greek language. The first one is eros love. This is like romantic love found in a couple, found in marriage. Then there is storge love, which is like family love, an affectionate bond that develops between relatives. Then there is philia love, which is the type of love that describes the powerful bond seen in friendships, where there is care and love and respect and compassion, like brotherly love, just like we see here in our church family, where we look out for one another and we care for one another, we respect one another, we choose not to gossip about one another, we seek to protect and watch one another's backs, and we show this in our words and in our actions. And then there is the highest form of God, which is agape, or agape love. And this is the form of love for humankind that is from God, and it is the divine love that comes from God. It is perfect, it is unconditional, it is sacrificial, and it is pure. And this word agape is like the highest form of love. It is pure love. It is so amazing. And Jesus demonstrated this divine love to his Father and to all mankind in the way he lived and in the way he died, by sacrificing his life on the cross for the whole of mankind to be rid of their burden from sin, to be able to enter into a loving friendship and relationship with God forever. And when we say sorry for those things that we've done wrong and we choose to turn from those things and invite Jesus into our lives, that is like embarking on a new relationship. And we see this love that he displayed, and it is there, and it lasts for eternity. Adam and Sam used a verse last week, and it really spoke to me, and it was found in Ephesians, and a lot of us may be very familiar with this verse. We may have learnt it in Sunday school, sang songs about it, but do we really understand what it means? It says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you will be rooted and established in love. May you have the power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep the love of Christ is, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And Paul says that God's love is total. It reaches into every corner of our lives. It covers the whole of our experience, the width and the breadth of all of our life experiences, and it reaches out further and further to the whole world. It is long. It lasts the whole length of our lives, even into eternity. And there is a concept, so I'm told, in geometry, called the line, I believe. And this line is like without beginning and without end, and it goes into infinity in either direction. And when we think of the love of God, it's a little bit like that, where there is no end to God's love. And that can be very difficult for our finite minds to comprehend. It is high. It rises to the heights of our relation. He goes with us. His love is there wherever we find ourselves, in our good times, in celebrations, and it is deep. It reaches out to us and remains with us in the depths of discouragement and despair. We are never far from God's love. So when we become isolated, when we feel discouraged, or when we feel a bit lost in our lives for whatever reason, remember that you can never be lost to God's love. In Romans 8:38-39, it says this: "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And these verses contain some of the most comforting words in the whole Bible. We will always have to face hardships in our lives, just like all of the people who've gone before us did. Sometimes persecuted, would enter into troublesome times, would deal with sickness, often imprisonments, and even death. And these things could have made people feel like they had been abandoned by God and that God didn't care for them, and they would have become fearful. But Paul here is saying nothing can stop the presence of Jesus from being with us, and God tells us how great his love is for us so that we can feel totally secure. Mother Teresa was known for her acts of love and kindness into the situations and the people groups around her. And she often spoke about love. And there are many quotes about love from this wonderful lady. And this is one of her quotes. "The greatest disease in the West today is not TB or leprosy. It is being unwanted, unloved, and uncared for. We can cure physical diseases with medicine, but the only cure for loneliness, despair, and hopelessness is love. There are many in our world today who are dying for a piece of bread, but there are many more dying for a little love. The poverty in the West is a different kind of poverty. It is not only a poverty of loneliness, but also of spirituality. There is a hunger for love as there is a hunger for God." And God is love. And his love is very different from human love. God's love is unconditional, and it's not based on feeling or emotions. He loves us because he is love. He created us to have a loving relationship with him. It's not a love based on performance, and God doesn't love us more if we perform better, and he does not withhold his love from us. His love cannot be changed or manipulated. And John 3:16, we were reminded of this verse this morning as we were praying as the team, and Alan prayed this, that the love of God is the heart of the Christian message. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he chose to give his son, his one and only son, for whoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not die lost, but have eternal life and a relationship with Jesus when we choose to do that." And you know, God's love is with us all the time. And sometimes when we think of the power of words in our own lives or those around us. When the children were young, I can remember spending the majority of my life in playgroups. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. As long as I got out of the house with my little ones and was with people and other kids, life seemed to tick along nicely and the day went a lot quicker. And it was less mess in my house. And so I remember often hearing mothers in particular saying to their little children for bribery, "If you do that again, mummy won't love you anymore." And I used to think of those things, and I used to think of those words, how the power of words affects us and can, like, sink into our hearts and affect us for life. And the power of words are so powerful, aren't they? But God does not love us in the way we love. I know, because I fail every day as a loving mother and a loving wife and a loving friend and leader. Sometimes moods and circumstances can really get in the way, and we have to remind ourselves of these things. Or maybe love was rarely shown, expressed, or experienced as we were growing up. And so then to give love or to even receive love becomes very challenging. But God's love is immeasurable and strong, and it is not based on human fickle feelings. I can remember my dad, there's my sister and I, there's 5 years between us, and my dad was an older Welsh guy before he met my mum, and emotions and expressions of love was something that he really struggled with, as a lot of men and women do today. And so we were brought up never hearing the words, I love you, or having like affection or sort of, you know, cutch or anything like that. It was just not his bag, and that was okay, because we knew he loved us because of the practical things that he would do for us. And sometimes when we were older kids, teenagers and younger women, he would always make sure that there was air in our tyres. He would always make sure that we had checked the oil in our engines. And he always made sure that our petrol gauge never went below a quarter of a tank. Because in his mind, and this is possibly true for any mechanics out there, if you let your petrol gauge go too low someday, it starts to damage the engine. Is that true? Not sure. Anyway, this was a long time ago. Engines are far more sophisticated these days. And so we always knew that he loved us, but sometimes, you know, we might not hear the words. And therefore, sometimes we then feel it difficult to say those words because of our own experiences. And so, as we know, love can be shown in many different ways. And so in order to be able to show our love to others, we have to really understand that we are deeply rooted in God's love. And so we're going to have a quick look at some ways of expressing our love. So the first one is the gift of listening. The gift of listening is a real way to show love and care for people. Focus on them. Focus on others. Hear what they have to say, because that enables them to be able to communicate and for you to be able to understand them. Remember the 80-20 rule. Talk less and listen more. Or listen more and talk less, okay? So basically 80% listen, 20%, see, I told you I wasn't really good at maths, and 20% just don't talk. Okay, so this allows others, people, to really feel that you love and care for them. Number two is to offer to help someone in need. This really shows how much you care. I have been the recipient of this so many times from people in this room in my life. And it really shows that the love of God is real and it's given through a human hand or a human word and a human prayer and a human act of care. And so offer to help someone in need, because this really shows them how much you care and love them. Thirdly, tell your loved ones how much you value and appreciate them. A little love goes a long way. And if we're the kind of person like my dad who really struggles with the whole thing about communicating words or affection, then, you know, send an email, send a text, or send a card to those people in your life that you love and value and are really appreciative of. We can so easily take people for granted, and so it's good to acknowledge those who've impacted our lives. Take a deep breath, take a gulp, and say those three words, I love you. It's hard sometimes, especially to certain people in our lives. And practice forgiveness, and practice forgiveness quickly. We can often have little spats with our loved ones, and things can crop up and misunderstandings occur and we get cross and whatever, but forgive quickly. Learn the art of forgiveness and do it quickly, because we need to pick our fights wisely, because some things are really just not worth it. One of the top regrets dying people have, now this is based on a palliative nurse, okay, not this. This is just funny. I found it funny. Maybe I am a little bit sick. But a palliative nurse wrote a book, and she had spent time with people who are at the end of their days, all ages, and she had done this for about 12 years. And the facts that she had collated from conversations with many of the dying were these were the top five regrets people had in their lives. Do you want to know what they are? The first one was this. I wish I had told others how much I love them. Along with, I wish I hadn't worked so hard at the expense of family and friendships. Now, don't feel guilty, because in this day and age, we all have to work hard, don't we? And sometimes there are seasons where we have to work harder because of financial situations or because of a pending sort of promotion or a study and a job that goes together sometimes creates a lot of extra time. So don't get hung up on that. There are seasons. But if it's like a lifetime of putting work before family and friends, then obviously that's like a whole different ballgame. And so some people had regretted working so hard at the expense of family and friendships. Hard work is good. I wish I had stayed in touch with friends. Now that's interesting. A lot of these things are relational, aren't they? So it's all very well to like accumulate stuff and be successful and become this, that, the other. But at the end of the day, people's regrets were all mostly relational. The other one was, I wish I had taken more chances, which I found quite interesting. And finally, in just the five, I wish I hadn't worried so much. Gosh. How much of our time in our heads are spent worrying? Sometimes about things that don't ever happen, and sometimes things that are perhaps taken way out of context. And so some of these things really made me think about, gosh, how I'm living my life now, do I need to make some adaptations? And so while we still have time and breath in our lungs, make any changes now and don't live to regret things we all have the opportunity to do something about. Romans 5:5 says, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so when we consider the love of God, we consider it being fact and experience. And when we think about the love of God, we can study it and know it in our heads. We can also experience it in our lives through the Holy Spirit's work. And so we feel it and we are assured by it, and that affects our lives in the face of our doubts. The love of God is experienced in the heart, and the love of God is demonstrated throughout history. There is fact and there is feeling. And I experienced this feeling of God's love. When I was 9 years old, I had been brought up in a family where they didn't go to church or believe in God necessarily, but they sent me to Sunday school. And one day I had been in Sunday school, and as a child, I had become quite a fearful, anxious child. I had remembered my grandmother becoming ill, and I was six, and she was nursed at home. The bed came downstairs for months and months and months, and then she died. And then I remember going to visit the funeral parlour and to say goodbye, and I placed a little poppy on her chest. And as I placed this little poppy on her chest, her eyes twitched, and my mother said, oh, she's saying goodbye. And that was like, oh, lovely. Freaked me out for years, that did. Anyway, I now know medically that sometimes there's still air and things, isn't it, Sam? And some people move even when they're dead. Okay. And so I do remember having this fear of mortality and illness and dying and death, and where do I go, and what happened if I die, and where will I go? And so these things bothered me as a 6, 7, 8 year old. So when I went to Sunday school on this particular day, my Sunday school teacher explained the Easter message to me in a way that I had never understood it before. Why Jesus came, how he loved us so much, how we can have a relationship with him, how because we're human and fallen, that doesn't have to be an issue when we kind of say sorry for the things that we do wrong. We commit our lives to him. And I can remember coming home from Sunday school and walking up to my bedroom. The Sunday dinner was cooking. My mother was calling me, dinner's ready, which my kids hate when I say dinner's ready. They've got much more interesting things going on in their lives than a nutritious meal that their poor mother has slogged for 3 hours to prepare, costing up all the lovely, healthy, organic, natural ingredients and the gas, the cost of the gas and all of this to, then it's cold and then it doesn't get eaten and then it's in the fridge and then the dog has it. Okay, anyway, I'm not bitter. And so I can remember going upstairs and kneeling at the side of my bed in all sincerity and asking Jesus to come into my life and to forgive me for all the things I had done wrong and to commit my life to him and to fill me with his Holy Spirit. And this was the prayer that I prayed, because sometimes we talk about this relationship with God and how to become a Christian and all the rest of it. And sometimes we think, well, what do I actually need to say? What are the bases that I really need to cover to be actually saved? And so this is the prayer that I prayed on that day as a 9-year-old. And I I was expecting bells to ring and, you know, thunder and lightning sparks and angels to start descending in through my bedroom window. None of that happened, unfortunately. I'm sure that is an experience for some people. But the thing I did experience was the tangible presence and love of God in the room. It was like a thick smog, and I could feel the love and I could feel peace coming upon me, and these sort of fears starting to dissipate. And sometimes in our lives, these things continually wear us out. But when we are reminded by God's love, these things are less of an issue for us. And there's a verse and it says this: perfect love casts out fear. And when we find ourselves anxious and fearful, when we remind ourselves of that perfect love that God has for us, our anxieties and our fears are not so like there. And I just want to encourage you this morning to really know that you are loved. And there have been special times in my life when I have been reminded of God's love. We all know God loves us, but sometimes we feel it on like a special occasion. And that's usually during a time of like worship, whether it's here, whether it's at home, whether it's on the beach, and it's just me and God, and there are no other distractions, and you put yourself in that place of just being alone with your Father, and you feel his love, you feel his presence through his Holy Spirit. When others have said or done something out of the blue during a difficult time, when the human heart of another person is moved by the Holy Spirit to bring something to you, to bring a word of scripture, to visit you, or to help you in a practical way, that is literally like the hand of God and his love being extended through another human being. And that is another wonderful way to feel and experience God's love. When we read our Bibles and see the faithfulness of God to his people, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when I hear of stories of people being healed or having like a prophetic experience or a divine encounter with God, that really enables me to remember and feel that love of God. And I'll give a quick story. Our lovely Flick, who's a member of our small group, who had baby Jonah this week, was at home just recently as a childminder. It was pouring with rain. She had lots of little toddlers in her house. She'd run out of bread and milk, and she thought, oh, what am I going to do? I haven't got the car. It's pouring with rain. Oh, what am I going to do? And she had little hungry toddlers in the house. So she attempted to make her own bread, which went wrong, which it often does, because there's lots of technical things in bread making. Anyway, all of a sudden, there was a knock on her door, and it was a friend of hers who turned up with a bag of bread and milk and groceries and said, this is really strange, but I really felt God wanted me to come and give you some bread and milk today. And Flick was like, oh, that's amazing, because that's the very thing she needed on that Wednesday morning or whatever it was. And to her, that was just that show of God's love, even in the little things in our daily lives. And that really encouraged me. And when something is undeniably God, you know, sometimes when you read the Bible, you can read a verse 100 times over, but there are certain times when it just leaps off the page and it speaks into your situation right there and right then. And those are moments where you think, well, thank you, God, I really needed to hear that today. Or we're in church and we're singing a verse and it really speaks into your heart. And when things are anointed by the Holy Spirit, we can often feel this love of God through words and through his scripture and in times of worship and through the hands of other human beings. Okay, so to sum up, because I know we're all eager to get to sports day, I just want to leave you with these things: that God really, 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 really loves you. And sometimes you can sit in this church and yes, I know God loves me, and yes, lovely verses, lovely songs, and you go away and stuff happens and you doubt it. But God really loves you. He wants you to know and feel that his love is real. There is nowhere we can go that is too far away from God's love to reach you, because it is immeasurable. Knowing that you are deeply rooted in God's love enables you to communicate love to others a little more easily. And in 1 John, as I've already said, perfect love drives out fear. So we need to learn to accept the reality of his love for us so that our fears do not control us. Let's close our eyes. Lord Jesus, there are many words that are spoken about your love. And I pray for each and every person here today that you would so fill them with the power of your love in their heart and in their mind that it would impact them this week in a powerful way. I pray where anxiety and fear dominates in our minds, this love would cast that out, knowing that we can never do anything or go anywhere that is too far away from your love. And I pray for each and every one of us, Holy Spirit, you would come and fill us now with your power and your peace and that love that surpasses our human knowledge, that it would impact our lives, and you would put those in our minds that we need to tell or show in a way that is appropriate and we are comfortable with, that we do love and care and appreciate them. I pray that we would grow in this year to grow in our love for you and for one another, and that we would grow in the love that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.